coming up.
And often when someone was on the verge of dying, quite a few of them would see a little boy riding a red bike.
No.
So that was always an indicator of, oh, you're about to, you know.
No, wait, stop. How accurate was this?
Welcome to Unholy Vibes, a journey through the realms of true horror. Although not a religious podcast, our guests may present stories intertwined with personal faiths and beliefs to maintain authenticity. We welcome guests from various spiritual backgrounds, acknowledging the impact of their beliefs on their experiences. Thank you for joining. Let's dive in with an open mind and respect for all perspectives.
Welcome to Unholy Vibes. I'm Alex, the host, and today we have another special guest, my friend, Cassandra. Cassandra, go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell the people who you are, what you do, and so on.
I am Cassandra. Currently, I am a stay-at-home mom. I have a 8-month-old baby boy and a 3-year-old daughter. So yeah, it's all fun around here.
Heck yeah, mom life. And we've known each other for almost a decade, actually. Isn't that wild? If you think about that.
I know. Yeah. Yeah.
Where's the time go? I think once you have kids, it's just like, what is time, right? So Cassandra and I met back in like 2015, and we've just been buddies ever since. You and your husband got married a little while after I did, and you're just chilling now. Chilling, and you're from Texas, which is great. We love Texas over here. We've been chatting a little bit about some of your spooky stories because I am ever the spooky story missionary, or I don't know if that's the right word. I'm the spooky story seeker and the missionary for spooky stories. I'm like, hey, have you heard? But also, do you have anything for me? So I'm a purveyor of spooky stories. And so all of my friends, I ask them, and Cassandra has a couple for us. And let's start with the more mild and let's work our way to the spookiest, and then we'll discuss. So spare no detail, give us the background, where you were, what you were doing, all those fun things, and then we'll discuss around it.
Okay. All right. So to set the scene a little bit, these are all from the same place. I worked as a CNA for 4 years at this really old assisted living building, like a skilled nursing facility, I guess, would be the correct term. So the building was built in 1969. So it might not like seem really old, but like as far as skilled nursing facilities, if you think of how many people just come in there and like die, then, you know, pretty old.
More than a few.
Yes. Quite more than a few. Okay. I have quite a few short stories, and then a couple of them are a little bit longer. I also have some like little research that I've done about nursing homes back in the 70s.
You came prepared. So, you came prepared today. I'm excited for this.
Okay. I did. Okay. Yes. So when you think of nursing homes, like before I was a CNA, I would always think, oh, that's where people go to live their final days. And so that was always like an unsettling feeling, you know? So by the 1970s, the number of nursing homes in the U.S. grew by 140%, and their revenues rose 2,000%. While the quantity of nursing homes increased, the quality did not. Nursing homes received the unfortunate labeling as park and die facilities.
Wow.
Yeah. And an Arkansas senator said, he called them a halfway house between society and the cemetery. I thought that was a little, you know, ooh. So the building was built in 1969. And with all the growth and everything around that time, you think of like how many CNAs and nurses and stuff they would need. And this still goes today. Like they basically can hire anyone that breathes, for the most part. And so your care is not going to be good. So that means your residents, your patients aren't going to be happy. And that leads into when they pass, that it can just leave icky feelings. So just to dive in, there was this lady who was difficult. That's a nice word for it. And there was this other lady who very much disliked this difficult lady. So we'll say the difficult lady's name was Janet. And the other lady's name was Rosie. Rosie did not like Janet at all. So Rosie ended up dying, and Janet had always wanted the room that Rosie lived in. So when Rosie passed and all of her things were moved out, blah, 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 Janet moved into Rosie's room. And so Janet was, she exaggerated the truth quite a bit, and she would really just make up things like, so-and-so did this to me and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, okay, that's not true, but okay. So she started telling people that her bathroom door would shake randomly and that it would open and slam shut sometimes. And at first, no one really believed her until someone was in the room when it happened.
Was that someone you?
No.
Oh, okay.
That one was not me. But I 100% believe that that was Rosie messing with Janet. Just because, you know, out of spite.
Yeah.
Like, they're just creepy. Like, your door doesn't just randomly start shaking and slam shut. And also, another thing with nursing homes is, I don't know if this is true or not. Obviously, there's no way to know. But if a window is shut when the person is dying and died, then their spirit is trapped
in the nursing home. Okay.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
That sounds like some old folklore type stuff.
Yes. Rosie's window was shut when she died in that room. So, you know, whenever someone dies in a rest home, you're always like, oh, was the window open when she died? And the CNA is like, no, but I opened it as soon as I knew that she was dead. I'm like, okay, good. Yeah. It's just odd things.
They don't know how to use doors. They can only float out windows. Is that what it is?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. They can't navigate through the building to the door.
And so
they have to go right out their window.
That's all. It makes sense. That must be it.
Yep.
And so the person who told you this, were they like, hey, this happened? And you're like, I believe you. Like, you were you kind of tight with your other CNAs and nurses and all that?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. For the most part, when we would tell each other things that would happen, it was more of a, hey, heads up, this just happened.
I have questions, but if you want to keep, if you have more to say, keep going.
No.
My question, which I'm going to ask this regardless of all the stories.
Mm-hmm.
You and the other nurses seemed to be relatively casual about this stuff happening. It seems very matter of fact. It was never like, oh my gosh, this thing just happened. It was, hey, just a heads up, this bitch's room is haunted. Like, whatever.
Yep.
Like, just be aware the exactly. ghosts are watching you do whatever, you know,
yeah.
wipe butts or feed old people mm-hmm. or something. Okay. Just yes. very matter of fact. Just like you said, just heads up. Just casual heads up. Okay. So
yeah.
keep going. Tell us more. I want to hear the rest of what you got. And yeah. then I've got more questions.
Okay. Before I worked there, I did not believe in this stuff. I always thought, oh, there's only good spirits. But no, after working here, no. Like, I believe in 100% that there's good and bad spirits. Anyways, next little story. I was working night shift. In the building, there are about 40 patients. So there's two CNAs and one nurse at night. It was kind of crazy, kind of hectic at nights. So me and the other CNA were off changing people, whatever. And the nurse was at the nurse's station. I drew this little map so you could understand what was going on. So this is the entrance where you come in. And then off to the side are offices. And then you come in and there's this huge open area with this planter wall thing right here that separates this big area from the dining room. And right here is the nurse's station. So over here are the hallways. So me and my other CNA were off in the other hallways. So the nurse, she was sitting there charting, working, whatever. And she said that she all of a sudden saw this big black figure just come across and walk across the in front of the nurse's station and then come over here in the corner in the dining room between like where the planter thing was and stand in the corner right over there. And she said that she stood up and said, you can be here as long as you do not touch my people. And then she said it just disappeared. And I still get chills when I think of that story because it just And so when me and the other CNA both came back out, she's like, you guys, this just happened and I'm really freaked out. And as soon as we walked back out there, I just kind of felt like, ooh, you know, how that feeling you just walk into and it's just like, ooh. So she told us that. And I was, of course, like, this night isn't even halfway over. And you're telling me this? No, thanks. I'm going to go home now. So yeah, for the rest of the night, we all three stuck together and we didn't go into anyone's room by ourselves and anything. But yeah, that was one of the creepier ones for me. So yeah.
Okay. Continue. I want to save my questions for the end because I know you have a couple more, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. In the kitchen, mostly at night. I worked days and nights. Whenever I would work night shift, quite a bit of the time, there would be pots and pans swinging back and forth, hitting into each other. And there would just be not constant, but frequent just clatter, like a fork drops or something moves in there. And it would be normal to hear weird things back in the kitchen. So we all just tried to avoid the kitchen at all costs at night.
Naturally.
Yes. Very often, day or night, mostly at night, you would hear people yelling for help. But most of the time, like at night, everyone was asleep when someone would yell help and you'd go looking in the hallways and, oh, everyone's sound asleep. Who's yelling for help? And often when someone was on the verge of dying, quite a few of them would see a little boy riding a red bike.
No.
So that was always an indicator of, oh, you're about to, you know.
No, wait, stop. How accurate was this if they said they saw this? Was it 100%?
It happened often enough to just like random people, like someone would live there and pass away. And then they would see that. And then someone would come after they lived there and then pass away. And they would also see the same thing. So they had no contact with each other or anything.
Right.
And they would see the same thing. And that was a thing before I even started working there and just continued to stay a thing.
So the elderly people living there would say, I saw a little boy on a bike or something.
Yeah.
And just tell their nurse, just like, hey, I saw this thing. And I'm sure plenty of the nurses were like, yeah, okay, you know, whatever, you're delusional.
Yes.
But exactly. And then they die. Did you ever have any of your patients tell you, hey, I saw a little boy on a red bike?
Yes. So there was this lady, she had alcohol-induced dementia. She was so funny. But anyways, she would often say just random awful wall things. Oh, that just reminded me of something else that she told me one time that was creepy.
Okay.
She was just really random saying weird things. And she told me that she's like, why is there a little boy riding his bike in the hallways? And she was kind of grumpy. So she was like upset about it and whatever. And I was just like, oh, I'm not sure. I'll have to go check up on that for you. Because I didn't want to tell her like, oh, you might be about to die.
Because you knew the lore already.
Yes.
Okay. And did she pass shortly after?
Not shortly. Well, like a few months. I don't know if you would count that as shortly, but.
I'm thinking like next day, you know.
No. But one thing that she did tell me one time is when it was during the day, I was changing her. She was laying on her bed and I was like leaning over her to change her brief. And she pointed up to the corner of the ceiling and she's like, there's a black figure up on the ceiling. Like, what the heck? And I turn around and I'm like, and of course there's nothing there. And so I was like, okay, I will be right back. And I left and I got the other CNA and was like, I need you to be in here with me right now. Cause no.
Right. Well,
just no.
Oh, that'd be so unsettling. You're like changing someone's butt and you're like, they're like, there's a demon in the corner. You're like, are you serious right now in the middle of all this? Terrible timing. Oh man. Yeah. And so, okay. That's scary. The boy on the red bike, I imagine in my brain, when you say little boy on a red bike, I imagine like a 1950s or older, like something really old. And it's actually like a little tricycle. Like that's how I imagine it. Like it's all little metal. You know exactly what I'm imagining, right?
Yeah.
Like you see it.
Yes.
That's what I imagine. I'm not like, there was some delinquent on a motorbike or a mountain bike in the hallways. No, it's like something creepy. Had a little sailor hat with a ribbon on it. That's for sure part of it.
With a little like balloon in his hand. Yes. Just
or like the pinwheel.
Yes.
That's how I see it. Okay. So was she the only patient that ever told you she saw that? That you had personally?
Yes. So technically like all of the patients were our patients.
Right.
Does that mean?
Okay. Yeah. And did other nurses or CNAs that CNA, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did any of the other nurses or CNAs that worked with you tell you, hey, one of my people I was helping today said they saw the boy on the red bike?
Yes.
How frequently?
Yes.
Like pretty often or?
I mean, I want to say I had someone tell me that like I could count on more than two hands probably.
A couple dozen times.
Yeah, which and... In the grand scheme of things there, that's not a ton of people because some people really did just come there to live out their final days. And so we saw lots of death.
High turnover rate.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's so
that's cool. A good word.
That's so inappropriate. I'm sorry, everyone.
No, I mean, no. I'm so insensitive to those. I don't know. Yeah.
Desensitized. You've been it. How long did you work doing that job? Not just at that place, but in general, like years.
I have been a CNA since 2016.
So yeah.
So
8 years.
A while. Yeah. Yeah.
And I imagine working there day and night. Because I remember when you were working there back in 2016, actually. And it's like, oh yeah, dude, I just worked a night shift and I'm covered in pee and I just need to sleep and it's or whatever, right? I feel like you have to just numb yourself to it and make fun of it in order to get through like any, not just being like in that specific position. I'm sure any nurse is like, I'm around death and disease and sickness all the time. And you just kind of let it wash off. So I think it's funny if you think it's funny. So we're good. You know, you were.
No, I think it's.
Okay, perfect. I don't think we're going to offend anyone. If we do, I'm sure they'll haunt us. So anyway,
probably
a couple dozen times though, to hear about a boy on the red bike and then they died shortly thereafter or whatever, in a few days or a few months. It's like, that's the sign. I mean, they were all there to die anyway, but I wish I knew more about this boy on the red bike. I'm going to be hung up on this for a while.
I know.
Does anyone know any lore, any origin story? What could it be?
I don't know. And you know, I've never even thought to like just simply Google search that. Cause maybe it is.
We're going to do a deep dive soon. Okay.
Okay.
Off air. Okay. Sorry. I'm getting sidetracked.
Oh, you're good.
Well, I would say ask. Do you still talk to anyone who used to work there?
One person, kind of.
Mm.
Not really. There was such a high turnover in CNAs also. Mm. So, you know.
It's the nature of the beast.
Yes. They've actually torn down the building. I don't know if you knew that.
You told me that. They've torn down the building, which are they building new homes on top of it?
Praying for the people that live in those apartments.
That's what I was going to say. What?
No thanks.
You're literally building on not burial ground, but the next best thing.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
I think they are building apartments there.
In whatever,
or townhouses or something.
It's Heber. I'm sure it's townhomes. Yeah. Whenever people start living there, let's make a little trip over and say, have you had anything creepy happen? Because I'm sure, dude.
Can you stand a little boy on a red bike?
You're going to die. Wait, what? Just scare the crap out of strangers. Oh, I would love that. Okay. Anyway. So going back to your other stories, please continue. Tell me more stories. I keep interrupting because I have questions about everything you say. So.
Oh, you're good. Interrupt me as much as you want. Okay. So this would also happen night and day. So these like off to the side, there's like this big main area. And then off to the sides are the big long hallways with rooms. And so to chart, which means you're just recording everything that you did with the patient that day, blah, blah, blah. And really, you just do that whenever you have time. So the charting station was at the beginning of each hallway, like right there and like right there and then all the rooms. And so there was just like this little stool that you would sit on to chart. And this would happen day and night. I think I already said that, but that's okay. A lot of times you would see just this figure walking back and forth at the end of the hall. And it was only one of the hallways. You'd see him walking back and forth from the same room. I think it was like room 1 and 2 or something across the hall. And there were several people, CNAs, that would see that while they were charting. That was just always a little unsettling. But honestly, in a way, you kind of got used to that because it just happened so often that you're like, oh, hey, what's up? You know, you do your thing. Just don't mess with me. Oh, yeah. So a lot of times when you would walk past a room, lights would be on. And then you'd walk back past the room and they'd be off. And a lot of these people are wheelchair bound and bed bound. So they're not popping out of their beds to turn off and on the lights.
It seems like just a lot of small continuous occurrences that were just happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I feel like, again, you get desensitized or jaded towards it. You're like, whatever. I'm just here to do my job, dude. You can haunt Betsy in room 3, but like, leave me alone, you know?
Go haunt Janet and leave me alone,
yeah,
please.
Yeah. Okay. More. Give us the juice.
There were quite a few times where the ickiness and malicious feelings that I would get from just being there were just too much. And so I would look back onto my faith and I would cast the spirits or whatever out in the name of Jesus. And most of the time it worked. Sometimes it didn't. There were a lot of times where I would just say a little prayer in my head and just say, like, please protect me and protect these people. I am just so scared right now. That was mostly at night where that would happen.
Night's extra spooky.
Yeah. All right. I'm ready for the scariest one. It was, again, night shift. Me and the other CNA were going together to change this lady. She was a little bit more difficult to change, so we both had to help. She was known to also say just random, off the wall, just super random crazy things. She was not in her mind at all. She was a super sweet lady, but just not there at all. She had several strokes, so she wasn't mobile at all. She couldn't like move or bend her body. Right. She could basically talk and see and hear. Mm. And so we were in her room and her bed was against the wall and both of our backs were faced towards the other wall and the bathroom. So we were facing her, changing her. One of us was holding her while the other one was wiping.
Doing the dirty work.
And yes. And she kept saying to us, there's a man standing behind you. And that was just like, okay, whatever. Because she would just say random things all the time.
I don't like that.
And she kept saying it. She kept saying it. And we were just kind of like, okay, yeah, oh yeah, there's a man behind us. And then all of a sudden, we were almost done changing her, right? We were wrapping up the brief, about to pull up the pants, everything. And she said it again, there's a man standing behind you. And then all of a sudden, the bathroom door, which was shut, started shaking violently and loudly. And me and the other CNA looked at each other and just darted out of the room. And I can't remember. I think it stopped when we left. I can't remember if it continued, but we stood out in the hallway almost in shock. Like, what the heck just happened?
Yeah.
And then we were both like, okay, we need to go back in there because her pants are down. She doesn't have blankets on.
You can't leave her.
We gotta finish.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we went down and we grabbed the nurse. We told her what happened and she's like, oh, hell no. And so she came with us.
Oh, man.
And so we were all three in there. We did it as fast as we could. And we were like, okay, good night. You're good. Like, whatever. Turned off the lights and just ran back out. And
you didn't check the bathroom for intruders?
No, the building was locked down at night. So the possibility of someone breaking in, I mean, maybe. But who would want to break into an old people home?
Yeah, I don't know. Who knows? But Okay, so was this not the same room? This was not the other room with Janet or whatever?
No.
No. Okay, different room. Same thing, though, yes. Kind of.
Essentially, I mean, in a way, I don't know if Janet's door was, like, violently shaking. I think she just meant the door handle just, like, shaking a little bit. I think someone would have heard it.
Right.
And, like, been more scared about it if it was violently shaking.
Man, I hate that, though. There's a man behind you. There's a man behind you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, part of me is like, I hope it was a ghost, because if it was a person in there, like, that is kind of messed up. But also, there's no great options. There's no good.
I didn't even think about that. Like, what if there was actually someone in there?
Like, what if one of the other patients got up and was wandering around while you guys weren't on that side of the building? Who knows? She was there for a while. You were still there the next day or whatever. She was fine, I'm assuming. Like, nothing else happened, right?
No, she was fine. And, like, we had to continue to go check on everyone throughout the night. And so, obviously, we stayed together to check on every single person for the rest of the night.
Yeah.
And nothing else happened that night in that room. Or really anything that night that I can remember.
That is wild. It's a very touch and go situation, it seems like. Like, oh, super scary haunted. And then the rest of the time, it's just like, meh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So did you work at that place until they closed it? Or do you ever work in other nursing homes? Or was it just that one?
I worked in that place until they moved into their new building. I didn't work in their new building because I was just kind of done. And I worked in a few other nursing facilities, but the only thing that I saw in one of the nursing homes was, or not saw, heard, was like someone running up and down the halls upstairs. And that
could have been someone, though. Like, just, yeah.
I mean, maybe. I don't know if an old person is going to be.
No, just like another nurse or something, or another CNA.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah.
Like, Jerry's dying, quick, or whatever. He was about to tell me where he buried his treasure. Help me. No, I'm just making light questions. If that's all, do you have any others you want to throw out? Anything else stick out to you? Because that was the scariest one. Like, that was the one that really freaked you out the most.
Yes. Okay. No, that's all I've written down. As you ask questions, I might remember more things. I try to lock those things away in my mind and not think about them. So the more I'm thinking about it, I'm thinking like, oh, right, that happened.
I'm unlocking a little bit of trauma. Some PTSD is happening.
Right, a little bit.
You're like,
I've had an uneasy feeling this whole time, but it's fine.
And you know what? We call those the unholy vibes, dude.
Yes, exactly.
I love shamelessly putting the name my own show in my own show. Anyway, so question time then. I'm past the boy on the red bike, but all of these, yes, for now. Did you ever have any run-ins with any of, like, the family members of people there that were like, hey, my mom or my dad is saying they're seeing these things, or this is happening, or they're scared? Did anyone ever come and be like, what are you guys doing? You're like, oh, it's just haunted, bro. Chill.
Not to me personally, but to one of my friends, yes. Like, the family asked her, what is this boy in the red bike? And I don't think she told them, oh, when someone's about to die, they see a little boy on a red bike.
Yeah.
You'd probably just have to play it cool and be like, oh, I think, you know, as you come closer to death, you can kind of start to
see things.
Yeah.
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 Play it off. Don't let them know that it's coming. Okay. And then you're desensitized to the spookies. Do you feel like becoming casual with those kind of things helps or hurts the situation?
What do you mean by that?
So like, oh, that's just the ghost in the hallway. Like, just don't mess with me and I don't care what you do. Or we just have these things happen. Lights turn on and off. There's always a ghost in the kitchen. There's a ghost walking up and down the hall that we see. Do you think normalizing it makes it, like, for you, it made it easier to deal with. Do you think that made the situation as a whole better or worse? Some people say acknowledging it makes things worse because you're giving it power or whatever.
Right.
Others would say it gives you more power to acknowledge it. I don't know. Do you feel like maybe you should have not acknowledged these things and normalized it? Because then it's almost like you're giving it permission just to hang around.
Yeah, I feel like for me personally, it made it easier for me just to be like, okay, you don't touch me or any of these people, whatever. I don't care what you do. Mm. For me, I mean, I think that made it a little bit easier because, like, in the grand scheme of things, that building was so old that I don't think it would have mattered if, like, what one person would have done, you know?
Well, fair, very fair point. Do you think most of the ghosts you were seeing and experiencing were former patients, or do you think any were staff members?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't think I could have very easily been a staff member from the 70s, 80s, 90s.
I don't know who else died in there. I mean, come on.
I don't know. That's true. I don't know who else has died in there. So, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the odds are probably former patients or whatever. Now, this is going to make you uncomfortable because it's spooky.
That's okay.
But
I'm already feeling it.
Working there for as long as you did and experiencing and seeing and feeling all the things that you did, do you think anything ever tried to attach to you or follow you home?
I knew exactly what you were going to ask when you were like, this might freak you out. I've actually been asked this question before. I don't think so. I really don't. Just because, I don't know, I felt like I was always just kind of vibing with them, you know, like in a way. I wasn't like, I don't think I gave them permission to do anything because I was always right. You do not do this to me or, you know, whatever.
No, that's you're absolutely right. Yeah, yeah. You're just, you already set up the boundaries, right?
Yeah.
So a dumb question on my part. I should have known better. But that's just you. I mean, you worked with, again, high turnover rate on the CNAs and nurses. Any of them ever tell you anything, like have any experiences where they think something followed them home? Did any specific nurses or CNAs get picked on by the ghosts? You know what I mean? Like, was one in particular having extra problems, if that makes sense?
Yes. That, like, just unlocked a new...
Yeah.
When I first started working there, there was a CNA who was not good. She was very neglectful. She would always lie about doing things like, yeah, I just changed this person, they're clean, blah, blah, blah. And then someone would go in there a few minutes later and they're soaking wet, sitting in their own pee in their bed. And there were some things that I feel like she, well, now that I think about it, I don't know if she would make these things up more or exaggerate the truth. Because that's just the kind of person that she kind of was. So maybe that was like the good spirit saying, hey, you need to work on your shit and help our people here.
Get it together.
I don't know. Yeah. That, what are you doing?
That reminded me. So you said for the longest time and until you worked here, you only ever believed that there were good spirits.
Yeah.
Unpack that for me. Why?
I had just never experienced anything creepy. Like, obviously, you know, I'd watch scary movies and stuff, and I'd feel a little uneasy after watching scary movies, but I've always liked scary movies, so I don't know. I've just never experienced, I had never experienced something like that until I started working there.
Okay, but just... I get why you thought that way, but then just like think back, if there's a good version of a thing, there has to be a bad version. And then you're watching all these scary movies like, oh, demons or hauntings, possessions, any and all of the above, right? But it just never occurred to be like, oh yeah, duh. Like,
I think I was a little naive.
And you learned a very scary lesson working at the nursing home, I guess.
I was very humbled.
Yeah. And I don't want you to feel like I'm like berating you. I'm just genuinely curious as to like what made you think that. But it was from what you're saying, you just hadn't had any experiences. So nothing ever drove you to think like scary shit.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Sorry if that came like condescending. No, I was not trying to be.
I did.
You're like, screw you, Alex, you jerk. I'm sorry. Okay. Anyway. So you grew up religious, you have this religious background, and from what you said, it seems like that was a help to you, kind of like a crutch to you while having some spooky experiences, which is good. Yes. I mean, different people handle it differently. I know some people that would sage the place, you know, burn some sage or candle. Different people approach things differently. So it's good that you're able to find some sort of device or comfort, because not everyone thinks to go to those things. And it's probably for the best that I'm kind of shocked, because it you would think that someone who has like a certain way of thinking going into such a, like a, hey, this is going to be scary sometimes. You could either be like, oh my gosh, and freak out, or you could be like, meh. And you luckily were just able to, like you said, vibe and just normalize it. So that, I'm sure that took a lot of focus from you to be like, dude, I'm too tired for this. I don't have the time. Like, let's just not.
Yes, exactly.
Can you please not? And it's funny that you say that, because I have a friend whose mother functions very similarly. There's a ghost and they know it. And they literally will be like, I'm trying to sleep. You're bothering me. Don't knock on my doors or walls or open things or move things. You're not welcome here. Literally, like, you're such a bother.
Leave me alone.
Yeah, you're more bothered by it. And the ghost is like, what the what? Okay, bye, jerk. You know?
Uno reverse.
Yeah, Uno reverse card on the ghost. No, thank you. Oh, man. Those are scary stories. And let me ask you this. Never as like a teen or adult, you were ever like, did you ever have any friends that tried to get you to play with a Ouija board or do spooky stuff like that?
Freaking in fifth grade, I was invited to this girl's birthday party, and she just whips out her Ouija board and she's like, let's play this. And at fifth grade, you're not going to be like, no, thanks. I'm going to go sit out in the hall. But thank Lord, someone, this other girl said, no, I've been told not to mess with that, so I'm going to go sit in the hall. Ooh. And they started the Ouija board, whatever. And immediately I felt so just, ugh, you know, the feeling that is associated with the Ouija board. And so I was like, you know, I'm going to go sit out in the hall with Jessica to keep her company. Let's throw Jessica under the bus, because I'm not scared. So I went out in the hallway with her.
A good cover.
Yep.
Dang.
But yeah.
And I've said this before. You would not catch me playing with a Ouija board.
Oh, no.
Even though I don't think, so I'm similar to you, similar to the older version of you that never had any spooky experiences.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't. And I've had like a couple, but they're nothing on the scale. And I am just not sensitive to those things.
Yeah.
I've always believed there's malicious things mm-hmm. out there. So it wasn't exactly the same. Like, I always did believe good and bad, but never really had much happen to me, which I am neither thankful nor upset about. Like, I'm just like, it is. It just is what it is.
Yeah.
Because again, to me, it's like, they're just spirits. Like, what are they going to do? How many ghosts does it take to turn on a light switch? You know, get out of here. Oh, you turn the lights on. I can do so much more than that. Get wrecked. Where was I going with this? Oh, the Ouija board. I would never be caught messing around with that. But even if I was like, hey, I'm going to get a Ouija board and see if it works, I don't think it would work for me. I'm just not on that wavelength. And for some people, they're like, oh, I've done dowsing rods or Ouija boards or magic balls or crystal balls or whatever, right? Tarot cards, this, that, or the other, psychics, whatever other spiritualism, things like that. And they all talk about their different experiences. I could try my very darndest, and I just don't think it would really do much for me. But I would go to a haunted nursing home. I would go to a haunted place and be like, interesting. Very interesting. Yeah. And if stuff started to happen, I would just be intrigued. I'd get a little bit of the heebie-jeebies, but I'm like, oh yeah, they can't do anything. So let's explore. I would go to a haunted place before messing with a spiritual object or whatever, if that makes sense. So
yeah, I think I would too.
I am more.
Well, I have, I guess.
Yeah, you have. You've been there, done that. Yeah, you're like, me too. I've been there. So I would definitely be interested in going in the future, going to haunted places or going to whatever buildings they're building on top of where that nursing home was. Keep me updated. Well, you're leaving soon. You're moving soon. So I guess. But have someone check in. I'll have to go. Yeah. I drive to Heber every so often. I'll just like go have a little look, see a little peek, because I'm so curious. That stuff doesn't just go away when you tear the building down, does it?
I wouldn't think so. Because I mean, well, I mean, I guess it's different if you like build on top of a cemetery because their bodies are there. But I mean,
this place wasn't a cemetery, though. You had plenty of
spirits
and encounters and happenings without it being a burial ground.
Yeah.
That we know of. That we know of.
Yeah, seriously. Who knows?
Some lady got buried in the basement, you know, whatever. Going back, do you think it was more just people who died there and either didn't realize they were dead or didn't want to accept that they were dead? It had to have been, right? I feel like that would make the most sense. Like,
yeah,
a lot of people die here.
Yeah, because with most of the things, like turning on and off a light switch, like, yeah, it's spooky, but it's not malicious in any way.
Kind of boring as hell for a ghost. Come on.
Exactly. Or, like, the walking back and forth between a room. I mean, it's a nursing home. People that aren't in their right minds, they just like to wander a lot.
Wander. Yeah, that's what makes the most sense. And yeah. But I'm kind of surprised that the other nursing homes you worked at, they probably weren't quite as old. Or maybe they were. I don't know. I am surprised, though, that you didn't have any or as many experiences of, like, I see shadowy figures walking around or whatever. Heber is old.
Yes.
It's old. We know this. And so I wonder if that has anything to do with it. Because a lot of people dying in one small area, you feel like that no matter where it was located, the same thing would happen. Maybe. I don't know.
One of the other ones that I worked at was built in like 2013.
So definitely not as old. But like, what's the threshold? It's like, this place has to be 50 years old before we can haunt it. Like, what's the rules, you know? Or
I don't know. I feel like the environment has a lot to do with it. Like not the work environment, but the first one I worked at, it was an awful place to work. No one liked working there. That's why there were always CNAs quitting, nurses quitting, whatever, all the time. It was a very negative work environment. And I think at these other places that I've worked at, I say three, but I've really more worked at two. I worked at one of them for like a day. That's the type of thing I think creates those negative welcoming environments to creepy things.
Yeah. It's years and years of negative emotions and feelings that just kind of compile into this spiritual mess or emotional mess or who knows?
All of the above,
right? Yeah, yeah. Well, they're a newer place. So give them 10, 20 years of that and they'll start getting their ghost. Or potentially someone who comes in who's just a real bastard and is really mean and then dies and continues to be mean afterwards.
Yep.
Man, well, dude, this is wild stuff. I'm so intrigued by this, and it's probably for the best that it was torn down, because they went to that new place over by the high school, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Much nicer place. Mm-hmm. We all know this. So it's probably for the best. But now I'm genuinely curious. I'm going to think about this for a while to go and be like, what are you building here? Next time you're around, if you go into Heber, like, just drive by. Just see if there's anything even built or being built yet. Just because I am curious.
I have in the past month or two. It's just like dirt and stuff there right now.
A lot.
So nothing's in the process of being built. Yeah. When I was still working there, there were rumors of someone buying the building and turning it into a woman's shelter. And I know that all the staff was like, no, do not do that to these poor people that already like need a place to stay. This place is haunted as hell. I thought,
don't bring him into a bad experience out of the frying pan into the fryer or whatever.
Seriously.
Oh, man.
I'm so glad they tore that building down.
Maybe it follows the whole window protocol where it's like, now that it's all a window, it's just open. All of you can move on and go.
Yep.
But at the same
time,
at the same time, some of them stuck around even with doors and windows open after. Anyway, you could look at it from a bajillion different ways. I'm not trying to get into the, we don't know. So it's hard to apply logic to some of these situations. It's whatever
it is.
But yeah. So outside of this nursing home experience, nothing else ever at your own home or what, anything like that?
Not that I can really think of. No.
Okay. Anyway, I don't even know where we were at, but I'm glad you came and told your stories and your experiences. So I appreciate you doing that and taking the time. They were spooky and I love it. And maybe I should go to the lot. Next time I'm in town, I'm going to go to that empty lot, meet me there, And bring the whole family. It'll be a fun family event. We'll have a picnic on the empty lot.
We should have recorded this episode on the empty lot at night.
Bro,
could you imagine?
I can't imagine. I am excited. If anyone listening has any questions for Cassandra, DM me at unholyvibespod on Instagram or email unholyvibespod@gmail.com. Send in your questions, comments, concerns, or experiences. If you or a loved one has been affected by a spooky experience, I want to hear about it. And someone reached out to me and was like, does it have to be like ghosts? And I was like, no. Ghosts, goblins, demons, aliens, a stalker, killers, real people, anything and everything under the sun that's unholy and unsettling, I want to hear about it. So please reach out. Thank you again, Cassandra. Do you want to promote anything? Like, hey, take care of your old people, or give them your Instagram to follow. Like, I don't know.
Take care of your old people. You never know what they can do.
They're going to come haunt you if you don't take care of them. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Stay spooky. Reach out with your experiences, and we'll see you next time.